everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Centre the Stands. You know who we are already. My name's Dan. Joining me again on the panel is Andrew and Jared. Say hello.
Yo.
Okay, so we have a bit to talk about today. Obviously, there's been a few transfers since the Friday when we did our first podcast. We're also going to talk a bit about the Community Shield, a bit about the MLS, and some other stories that have happened in the world of football. We're also going to do some Prem predictions and a fancy dream team thing at the end.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. Right, so let's start off with the biggest transfer saga over the coming days, which was Di Maria. Okay. He joined Manchester United for a British record fee of £59.7 million.
A lot of money.
And the PSG fee is believed to be around £44 million.
So that's like a £13 million drop.
Yes.
The Van Gaal.
No, sorry, £15 million. So for the Van Gaal effect, but losing £15 million in a year, what do you think about?
It's not a big deal to them, though, is it?
Not that well.
They don't mind. I mean, they're more bothered about him personally than what they've had to financially.
Well, and if you want to spend that much money on a player, you want it to be successful. It just hasn't really worked out.
We've spoken about the whole Chelsea loan system. It's kind of like that. It's £50 million this time.
Just a
wee drop.
Yeah. Obviously, had an unbelievable season, or a few seasons for Real Madrid before that.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you think when he initially joined he was going to be about
the Champions League? You saw him in the Champions League when Madrid won it. He was sensational. Mm. The best player in the team. Obviously, he had Bale, probably, who had the most spotlight on him because it was a very big deal joining the club. But Di Maria's performances were unbelievable.
He's a brilliant player, and when Man United signed him, you thought this guy's going to be pretty much the new Ronaldo. I mean, he pretty much already had that quality. He wasn't joining as an 18-year-old, he was 25, 26. You thought he pretty much got this finished article here, but he really just didn't fit into the team well, and he probably wasn't given enough chances than he needed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he signed for a 5-year deal as well when he initially signed for Man United.
Yeah.
And he's gone within a year. What happened was he joined, he scored on his Old Trafford debut. He also assisted a goal for Juan Mata in a 4-0 win over QPR. He won man of the match. He continued his form throughout September. He scored against Leicester City with that amazing chip over Kasper Schmeichel. I don't know if you remember that one. Manchester United goal of the month. He was named Manchester United player of the month, and then he got injured. He got a bit of an injury. And I've actually got some stats here for Di Maria. I saw this on Sky Sports, but between August and February for Manchester United, he made 18 starts, scored 3 goals, made 8 assists, and created 44 chances. And between March and May, he started 2 games. He had 0 goals, he made 2 assists, he created 7 chances. So you can kind of see how the injury affected him. Do you think he's going to make a difference at PSG?
Absolutely.
Thiago Silva reckons so.
Yeah, absolutely. PSG have needed some more marquee players because they've really wanted to try and get the Champions League, because they know they've won Liga 1 pretty much every year now. So having a player like Di Maria there to help with Zlatan.
You could argue that PSG are going to have a better say in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
So if he was to start performing again in the Champions League, then PSG are the club to be at, because they probably would reach further than Man United, because the English clubs are struggling at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when it comes to league, I think in Liga 1, he's going to find it a lot easier.
That's true.
I think the quality.
He'll probably get away from all the cynics. He's going to escape all the cynics of the English press.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope he does really well, to be honest, at PSG.
I hope he reopens
and becomes that amazing player he was at Real Madrid.
He's going to start pretty much every week now. He's guaranteed that at PSG. It maybe wasn't guaranteed that at Manchester United.
Gives him a lot of time to settle in, maybe gel with the team a bit.
Absolutely.
So he's flying for a medical.
It's happening soon.
It's happening very soon. Benteke, debut goal. Did you see it?
What a goal. Chest volley.
Sensational.
What do you think about this, Jared?
You'd have to argue that it might be better than any guy who scored for Villa. He did score some good goals for Villa, but that was sensational. The technique on that was really good. It was sort of like Matthew Lowndes, but a bit closer in.
Yeah.
So not the best, but it was a very good goal.
And it pretty much silenced everyone that says, Liverpool aren't a crossing team. It's Benteke gets it centrally, chest at top corner.
Well, it was a flip, wasn't it?
It's quite easy.
It's Sarah flipped it onto. So the Brighton boy.
The Brighton boy.
Yeah. Off linking together. The line from Brighton does that recently. So,
good start.
Worth the money? Do you reckon it's going to be worth the money for this season?
Yeah,
for the coming season.
I've already spoken about this.
Yeah.
The price tag is more than justified.
It is.
Than any other player, that's been justified.
Yeah. Did you think it'll be within the top couple, maybe top scorers this season?
Yeah, it's top 10.
Yeah. 10%. Yeah.
How many goals do you reckon he's going to get? Like, just have a quick prediction.
I think unless injuries come into play, he'll easily go 15 goals. Mm. But if injuries do set in, then you're looking at 10.
He's got some good partnerships as well. He's got Danny Ings to help him out as well.
They've signed Sturridge. They've got a lot of options.
They do.
Offloaded Ricky Lambert.
Oh, they have, yeah.
And Sturridge has injury concerns a lot of the time.
Breathe for
so it really is. It really is basically Ings and Benteke when it comes to two definite strikers.
No, I don't know either. That sounds like a great strike partnership to me. Ings and Benteke.
Also, something I want to say about Benteke going to Liverpool is that when Rodgers first came in at Liverpool, he got rid of Andy Carroll, who was that very similar sort of player to Benteke, because he didn't feel he fit around the team he wanted to make, and now he's sort of gone back to that in a way, getting a player like Benteke. I know he's not all aerial, but that's a lot of his game.
Well, he's under big time pressure because he's brought a lot of unproven players, and Benteke is definitely proven, so it's kind of like he's not taking a risk with Benteke. Unless Benteke really does let him down, there's nothing he can really lose in doing this, because he's under a lot of pressure. He's already at the end of last season already said he's happy to step down, and they put balls into him. I didn't think they would, but he was ready to step away from the club, so I think making signings like this is risk free.
Yeah, definitely. So more pre-season kind of games. Scott Sinclair's got a hat-trick for Aston Villa.
Hey,
Scott Sinclair. But Aston Villa also conceded 3 goals. Let's just talk about his hat-trick.
So it's 3-0.
Finished 3-0.
He scored some good goals. First one was Jordan Mabee's cross. Really good cross. Lovely cross.
That's good too.
Very nice header as well. Like, I've noticed Scott Sinclair, he's actually not bad at heading. He's actually not too bad. I remember he scored a nice headed goal earlier in last season's games.
We should make a phrase like good heading for a little man.
Yeah.
Good heading for a little man.
It's quite surprising because he can get some power off that head.
That's it.
He really can. He's got a nice jump on him. It's like a salmon.
Yeah.
Con salmon.
Was he playing centrally or was he on the wing?
I can only say I watched the highlights.
Right.
I didn't watch
was
the
he getting
game.
All his goals centrally?
Going to be off the stream. No, from what I saw, it looked like it was central.
Oh right, that could be interesting.
Because Amavi's cross came in from the left.
Yeah.
I think he was playing central.
Oh right, that's interesting.
Do you think that maybe Scott Sinclair has something to prove after being on City's bench for that many years? Obviously,
absolutely.
He was a prospect
once upon a time.
So
he's still the talent's still there.
Yeah.
He proved that last season. He looked very good.
He went alone, didn't he?
He just quieted down a bit, and I think Sherb got a little bit itchy to get some other players out there that are going to make more explosive impacts, but from time to time he actually delivered really well, and he still has that talent.
Yeah, well, scoring a hat-trick as well against the Championship side, I mean, Nottingham Forest aren't the worst side either.
Well, no, because Everton lost, like, I looked at the result and I was kind of worried, but then Everton lost 2-0 to Leeds. I think during pre-season anything can happen, and I think we only conceded 3 goals because we weren't really looking for a win. We didn't worry about the win. You wouldn't put on someone like Lewis Kinsella, Baker, Sanchez at the back, and whoever's playing right back, I don't remember. You wouldn't have that back line if you were looking for a win, if you were looking to hold out, because we're not going to do that in the Premier League game. We're not going to put these players there.
The pre-season is just for trying out new things.
It is.
And new ideas, because you can't really do that.
Tactics.
In a Premier League game, you don't want to risk that too much. Like, you want to try out a little thing here or there, but like making massive changes like that, right?
Yeah.
You just don't want to try it too much, because you're just going to lose.
There was a bit of an injury scare quite early on in the match. Crespo.
Yeah.
You told me about this,
and I wasn't too. Yeah. I wasn't aware of it.
he hobbled off with a knee injury on his right side, and Hutton kind of replaced him, I think, after 31 minutes. But it shouldn't be too bad, because he kind of hobbled up off the pitch itself, and hopefully he just walks.
He's not a first team player. He's not a first team player anyway, so it's not going to affect him.
Yeah,
this is his first chance to like prove himself. So he'd have probably wanted to play most of the
match. He'd have to really perform to get a chance at first team.
Exactly.
Weirdly, because our only other like right back options are Hunt and Bakunin, and I don't think they're great. I think the main concern, to address the main concern of the 3 goals we conceded, was the first goal, because we conceded within 20 seconds.
Yeah,
and that's a problem that Villa have been suffering for quite a while. We go into a game and we get embarrassed at the start, and then we look worried for the entire rest of the game, and 8-0s happen and stuff like that. So we have to be really careful, because if we can hold out to like the 40th minute, 45th minute, and concede, then if we are going to concede, it ends up 1-0, 2-0. But we do have the tendency to ship a few goals in the first 10 minutes, first 20 minutes, even with players like Mane and stuff like that. You have to be really careful.
Yeah.
And we're still looking too naive. I think we need a really good defensive fullback.
Is there any under Villa's radar at the minute that they're looking to maybe sign? Is there any targets?
There aren't. That's the problem I've had with Sherwood's. Like, if there's any problem I've had with him, it's our lack of. We're just not trying to get defenders in. It doesn't seem like we have them.
You've got Micah Richards, didn't you?
Yeah, free. Yeah, that's fair enough. But it seems like the fullbacks haven't been addressed properly.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, definitely. But hopefully Villa can keep up that kind of goal scoring form throughout this.
Well, you have to, season. Don't you? If you're gonna concede a load, then you need to score loads, and that's how Sherwood's playing at the moment. Because you saw that when we played things like QPR and ended 3-3. You could tell that Sherwood's play style was literally to outscore the opponent.
I think someone like Idrissa Gueye coming in there in defensive midfield is really going to help out the defence. They're going to have a lot less to do and they'll feel a lot less pressure on them having someone like that in there.
They signed the box-to-box midfielder in him.
He's quite a big guy as well.
Exactly. He's an engine to and from. And we really need that because a lot of the time we used to have just Sanchez sat at the back playing that furthest, playing the deepest out of the lot, and it misplaced a pass. And then you've got to think about who's that other midfielder that's going to go behind him when he makes that mistake.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And there aren't any. And then we're pretty much left open to concede.
Having those two in midfield is going to really help them out.
Definitely. Moving on from Aston Villa. It is Miles Jednak's birthday today.
Happy
birthday.
The Australian and Crystal Palace captain.
Yes, indeed. So he's been at Crystal Palace for a while now. I think he's been there since 2011 or something like that.
Where did he join from?
I can't really remember, but you know, I think he's made 137 appearances for league.
10 goals.
Yeah, scored somewhere around 10 goals. He's 31 today. How long do you reckon he's going to stay there for? Do you reckon he's still got a good playing career ahead of him at Crystal Palace?
A lot of think he'd finish the career there.
Yeah, well, they finished 10th last season. Yeah. Crystal Palace.
They're looking a very healthy side. Very healthy. Like,
they are.
Some good players in there.
And also, they've recently signed Connor Wickham. Recently, as in today. So how good do you reckon that's going to be for them?
I mean, that's where they're playing with fire a little bit, because if he was to flop, because he hasn't proven himself completely yet.
Do you remember when he first burst on the scene, like, people calling him like the next Alan Shearer? Like, this one is like 17-8 switch.
Yeah. But this is the problem, this is where you end up being a healthy club to a not-so-healthy club when you start making these signings. And that's when you could fall. We've got to hope for Palace to say that he does perform, and I'm sure he might. He's got the confidence.
Yeah, because it's like Murray's going to leave, and Chadwick, he did decent at the start of the season, but they really sort of want a striker who's going to get them at least sort of 10 goals a season, and
yeah,
Wickham definitely has the potential for that. He's quite a good finisher, he's a good poacher, but he still hasn't quite proved the potential that he can be that top quality striker.
Yeah, who's his partnership striker? They've got Shamak, Dwight Gayle.
Dwight Gayle's leaving. Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone.
Like, he's proper ever since Pardew's joined, he's been out of favour.
Yeah.
What I found really surprising, because he really looked like he knew where the net was.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Dwight Gayle.
Because we were linked with him first, man, but we never got him. And looking at how he was doing at the start, I was quite disappointed, because he looks like a really nifty player.
Blassie and Zaha Punch, and they're all very good players to sort of have as your support, and also your anchor by, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think anyone predicted that Palace finish so high up in the table.
They're a solid side.
Yeah, they are. I think they're quite underrated. I think they go quite underrated
a
bit too much, because I'm pretty sure everyone thought they were going to get relegated as soon as they went up. But proved everyone wrong.
They've done well. Tony Pulis sort of solidified them as a Premier
League. Well, they came up from the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they won. Didn't they finish bottom of that playoff bit? So it's pretty impressive, because you'd think, like, seeing a team like that come up into the league, you'd think they might.
Oh, no, sorry, they finished second for Wolves, and then Brighton finished fourth.
Oh, alright, fair enough. And they well and truly beat Brighton, so I remember. So that was a really disappointing performance from them.
Yeah.
So let's move over to the MLS, back over to America. They broke a big record this weekend. They absolutely smashing it in the back of the net over and over again.
It's just most goals in a weekend.
Most goals in a weekend.
I noticed there was a game, it was about maybe one game, maybe three, going on last night. So the goals could still be coming. Because I remember it was like 35 or something like that for goals.
Yeah.
The leagues are smaller, aren't they? So impressive.
It's sort of like comic relief. We're sort of waiting for the goals to come in and all the money in this.
Yeah. But it's kind of proven that MLS is actually strengthening as a league.
Maybe
but
not their defense.
Maybe the
department. Like the fact they're getting all these big names as attackers, and then their defense is all these wee little MLS players.
Yeah, but they actually scored 39 goals combined. And so
that doesn't include yesterday or last night.
I don't know. I don't mean that's included.
I don't know if it's a conference or what. Is this two different conferences?
There was a lot of big results, and Kyle Larin, he's a player that's recently been
got himself a brace.
Who's this?
Kyle Larin, he's a 19-year-old Canadian.
Yeah, for Orlando City.
He's got a hat trick, didn't he?
Well, yeah, I've been watching him closely. I just knew his name was going to pop up at least twice, and he did. He scored twice. He looks very, very nippy player for the MLS. It definitely looks like he's finding it easy there. Scored his 10th goal of the season, I think. Another guy was in the cup of some sort. But he's had 16 appearances, scored 10 goals. He's scoring for Canada as well. He's 19 years of age. I don't care how easy people say the league is or how easy the national team friendlies have been. That's very impressive for a 19.
And Canada haven't really had, well, not to say this guy's going to be a marquee player, but like someone you could say, if you think of Canada's national team, you think of that player. They haven't really had that player.
Rosario.
Yeah, maybe not so much over here, but if this kid sort of does it for another season or two, he might get a move to Europe, maybe the Premier League.
Like, you'll have to argue that out here, like, the biggest name is probably Simeon Jackson or something like that.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, I forgot even existed.
Or a George Friends or
Millwall, still he plays for Simeon Jackson. Or
he's down there somewhere.
No, I don't know.
I can't remember where he's gone.
No. They move too much down in those leagues.
They do.
Every month, it seems.
If you look at the MLS, like the sort of the amount of quality they brought in, like Giovinco, he has been absolutely unbelievable since he's joined. Like that's probably sort of where most of the goals are coming from. He's just scoring them all. Like obviously Kaká and Perlo and all these new players coming in. It shows the quality going up so much. It's probably where all the goals are coming from.
Yeah, it's good to see David Villa as well continuing his form. He's still scoring. Robbie Keane, he's still smashing him in. He's been doing that for some years now.
Oh yeah.
Also, Lampard's team, New York City FC, they lost. This weekend.
It's his debut.
It was on his debut. But yeah, they lost to Montreal Impact 3-2. Yeah. Didn't Higuain's brother score a goal as well?
Yeah, he plays for Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored the first goal in that match against Orlando. Orlando beat him 5-2. But they did open the scoring and obviously didn't go on very well from there on then because Kyle Larin scored a brace and it just started happening from there. Three more goals came in for them and they replied with another, but just wasn't enough.
Okay, so back over to the Premier League. David Gold being a bit of a weird dealer.
I really wanted this on here because all I'm hearing at the moment is David Gold, David Gold. Like he's just basically Harry Redknapp.
tell the listeners who David Gold is, just for those
David Gold
is
the chairman of West Ham.
Yeah.
And he's quite an old fella from what I know. He's quite a big football fan and he's very Twitter friendly. He's got a Twitter account. You don't see that too often. But yeah, he likes to talk to the West Ham fans a lot and he likes to get them excited with all these signings. And at the moment, they've got their two links of Vahabek and Halilovic.
Where are they both from?
Well, Halilovic is the Barcelona young man. Croatian.
Right,
because he didn't want. Because Barcelona B just got relegated, didn't they? Third division Spanish football. Yeah, they just got relegated.
And Halilovic was the reason that Barcelona got their transfer banned because he was under 18.
But a lot of the players from Barca B have decided that they're not playing third division because they think they're too good for it. And they probably are, to be fair. So yeah, they're going to. Like, I think it's quite a big step up. They've got a West Ham the Smash division. But yeah, it's been Bahadek, who's, I think he was a PSG player.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, still like 22.
He's a winger.
But it was Bahadek and Halilovic as the two main. But there's a lot more out there.
What's he saying about them both?
He gets West Ham fans quite excited because he pretty much says they're all done deals. Like he said, Halilovic is there, like it's done.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be big. He's a name, isn't he? It's like when Stoke signs Boyani. This is the thing about his name. Like when I watch him play, the commentators have a different pronunciation for his name. It's Boyani. It's Bojan. But yeah, like that's what I mean. It's the same sort of thing when they signed him and Marc Muniesa.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know they were going to be amazing, but they're Barcelona kiddies, and it was a big thing for Stoke to do something like that.
Barcelona puts a big brand on a player.
That's true. Like, I'd be a bit annoyed if I was sort of the negotiating team and like we had this the guy we're negotiating with on Twitter, like saying, "Yeah, we've signed him." It's like, hang on, it's all this bit of paper to sign. We've still got to agree wages and stuff. Like, why are you saying all this stuff? You know, we could go somewhere else at the time. Like, disagree, is
that? Another big hit for West Ham is that Valencia is expected to be out until Christmas.
And David Gold has jumped on that.
Yeah,
instantly.
He's like, we're signing strikers. That's it. There's nothing signing.
Sky Sports News loving it. I reckon on deadline day you'll have him drive up in his Jeep or whatever he's
out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that classic. So Sunderland, they've also been a bit busy. They're apparently about to sign Envia and Leroy Fer. First of all, let's talk about Leroy Fer, because he's had double relegations with Norwich, and then he left Norwich to join QPR for £8 million. It's not been now QPR selling him to Sunderland.
Well, he's hit that point where it's actually a big deal to sign him because of his wages. Where it's actually, like, a few years ago, it wouldn't have been anything because he wasn't on anything. He's went to Norwich.
Yeah.
But his wages have more than doubled, I'm sure, since he's gone to QPR. And there's questions about whether he will stay in the Premier League with Sunderland, because just can't say he's a Premier League quality yet.
No, definitely isn't. Really.
When he was at 20, he looked brilliant. Like, you know, it's in Eredivisie, it can be either hit or miss. And looking at him, he looked like the complete package in midfield. Like, you're going to get a guy who can defend, who can attack as well. But he really hasn't shown it. And maybe that's because he hasn't tried hard enough, or that he's at not very good sides where he's been at. But I think he still needs to prove himself, definitely.
Yeah,
but you can certainly say that Suns are making a statement when it comes to their spine of their team. Signing these two, because it's really going to change the face of them.
Yeah, Yamavir, that's an interesting one, because he had all the potential in the world, and he hasn't really shown it at
French
all.
French international, he's been playing
Russian league.
I tend to feel, me personally,
I don't know anyone else, but when they go to the Russian league, I never check on what they do.
Well, Russian League's a bit of a...
It doesn't matter to me, personally. It's kind of like, you're so far joining...
Yeah, as soon as you kind of get out of, you know, maybe past Belgium, they kind of go, they vanish off the face of the earth, it seems. Like, you never check up on players joining the Russian League or somewhere in Qatar.
Unless they're doing something naughty like Assem Aljan. It's the only reason you remember them.
Yeah. But I don't mind the Russian League.
They go there for the wages, pretty much, and they hardly go there for the football.
Well, it's very wealthy, because you look at Fabio Capello, for example, how much he's getting paid to be Russian manager, being a coach.
Yeah.
He's getting paid tons for it, and you've got to think how much the players are getting paid as well. Like,
yeah.
They've clearly got resources there financially.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So Ricky Lambert, he's left Liverpool, and he's joined West Brom, and actually scored two on his debut.
Pretty much like a few hours after joining, he scored two on his debut
against Bristol Rovers.
It's a former club, Bristol Rovers, yeah.
Former club where he proper made himself, you know.
It's like a
got himself on the map at Bristol Rovers.
It's like a compare of us. Bristol Rovers, you can't play them.
Yeah.
It's just my career summed up.
Yeah, but what do you think this means for Ricky Lambert? Obviously, he's getting on a bit.
It's so sad sort of seeing him not do well at Liverpool. You sort of really want, it's like the Cinderella story for him, like going from nothing to his hometown club, and it just didn't work out. He didn't get enough game time. He came on the last 2 minutes of games. He just like, well, I'm not going to be able to do anything. So
it certainly wasn't anything fairy tale. It was sort of like a honeymoon period for the last of them.
Oh, I mean the fairy tale in that he gone from nothing to the
top. That's what I mean. Like, it wasn't a fairy tale, and
but then it was sort
Liverpool.
Of yeah, yeah.
Did,
okay, yeah. It was like a
love story like that when they come from that non-league and shoot straight up into the, you know, the big leagues. That happened with Dwight Gayle, who's playing for Stansted in the ninth tier.
It's really disappointing when it's taken a bit of a drop.
Yeah,
I think he deserves to be on the way up. It's just the new manager's pros and now. I haven't checked up on him, so I couldn't say he's dropped in performances or not. But it's a shame, because I reckon he could still be a prominent goal scorer in the Premier League.
I think Dwight Gayle's story. He's playing for Stansted in the ninth tier.
He was on loan from Peterborough, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then he went to Peterborough, but like from ninth tier to Peterborough, and then, you know, from there, we all know what happened.
Yeah.
I love stories like that, and it's a shame Ricky Lambert's kind of gone back down a bit. But you know,
he's still in the Premier League.
He's still in the Premier League. Exactly.
He was linked with Tottenham, and I thought that would have been an incredible signing, because you look at the sort of strike force of Tottenham. It's only really been Kane that's been scoring the goals, and they're pretty much getting rid of all their strikers like Adebayor and Soldado. And I thought Ricky Lambert in there, he's what's it, like 33, he's experienced, like he can be a leader in that dressing room, because Tottenham don't really have many other leaders. Their captain Lloris pretty much wants to leave as soon as he can, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's just having that sort of figure there, when he's not got, he'd play more games than he would do at Liverpool, and he'd be able to help Kane out if Barry, you know, joined, help him out too. Like, I thought it'd have been a great signing for Tottenham, but you know, for West Brom, I think that's pretty good. Like, he'll probably play most games for them, and he's a proven Premier League goal scorer, so I think he'll do well at West Brom. probably get like at least 10 goals in all competitions.
Yeah, he could turn out to be a key player for them this season.
Definitely.
Staying with Spurs, they're set to lose 15 million on Goldardo.
Goldardo.
He signed 2 years ago.
How is it? How is it not more?
I don't know.
I'd love to know how it's not more.
Yeah,
they're very lucky.
They've
done the same thing with, who was it? Paulinho. Yeah. I thought, how they not lose more on him as well?
Well, they signed him 2 years ago for 26 million.
Soldado.
And they're about to, well, there's rumours of him going to Villarreal for 11 million.
Yeah. And
after scoring, I think, 7 goals in 2 seasons.
It's not been good for him at all. I thought he'd do quite well. I mean, they put a big price tag on him.
Like, the amount of hype he was getting before he actually joined Spurs.
He was
actually
fantastic.
Doing pretty good, wasn't
when was
he?
The last time you scored against Fiorentina? I remember watching him for you. I remember watching the game with Spurs and Fiorentina. I think it was at their stadium. He scored a really nice, it was a really nice goal, and everyone was sort of like, oh, he could be back scoring a goal like that, but you just knew he wasn't going to be back because it was Europa League, and as soon as he comes back to the Prem, he's just going to go back to square one. But no, that was a really good goal, and it's the last time I've heard anything of him.
I mean, most of his goals have been penalties, so he's known as
doesn't count.
Penalty,
it's just a guessing game.
He's also, what's funny is that he's joined Villarreal, who are Valencia's main rivals, and Valencia fans aren't going to be too happy about that, right? But they're doing quite well at the moment. They finished top four last season. They've got Negredo up front, right? They're doing alright without Soldado.
Let's move over to Nicholas Bentner.
Oh my goodness.
Come on, tell everyone what happened with Nicholas Bentner.
Oh my god. Well, it was the Community Shield equivalent in Germany. It was between Bayern Munich and Wolfsburg, and Bayern Munich went 1-0 up in the first half through an Iron Robin goal. Like, it was a mistake by the keeper. I think it's Costa crossed it in, their new signing from Shakhtar. He crossed it in and Castile sort of fumbled it to Lewandowski, and it sort of fell to Robin, and he scored a tapping pretty much from 6 yards. And then
switched in Bentner's head.
Oh my god, like, Bentner came on, like, because he's not going to start because he's not very good as we all know. And in the 89th minute, like, ball was put across to him, and he finishes it past Neuer, right footed into the roof of the net. It's a beautiful goal to equalise it and take it to extra time, and then the penalties. And on penalties, Wolfsburg won 5-4 with Nicholas Bentner scoring the winning penalty.
Fantastic!
It's just,
what a story. After all the stick Bentner gets,
enjoy it, Bentner.
Kind of his fault, but
it's sort of his
fault. Like, he's kind of risen the hate.
Yeah, but some people class him as the Lord. Some people hate him.
You're going to mention that, aren't you?
I had to mention the Lord.
It's a weird,
I don't thing. Think he's a Lord.
He thinks he's a Lord because he said it.
Oxide Chamberlain also said in that press conference, he kind of joked, didn't he? Like,
So
Alex, if you could play any Arsenal legend, who would it be?
Nicholas Bentner. The fans just ate it up.
Erupted, didn't they? So staying with Wolfsburg, Kevin De Bruyne. He's a big talk at the minute. What do you think of Kevin De Bruyne as a player?
Oh, he's
fantastic. Obviously finished second with Wolfsburg last season.
Yeah, I mean, Wolfsburg had probably one of the best seasons ever, and they looked absolutely fantastic, mainly because of him. I think he got 20 assists in the league. There's only 34 games to put that into consideration. Like,
he
is absolutely fantastic.
And it looks like he's staying with Wolfsburg as well, which is good.
It's going to be hard for them to keep on to him, because every team's going to want him. Like,
I'm not surprised. You can't blame them for wanting a world-class midfielder.
You can blame Chelsea for that.
It's another matter.
I never understood them letting him go, because he always looks quite he looks levels above people like Van Ginkel, who always
still
deserves going. Yeah, who actually deserved going to another
Went on loan to Sunderland, didn't he?
Yeah, and he went to, I know he's playing for Milan.
He did last season.
Yeah, but I don't think he's performing, because Milan certainly didn't perform. So.
Yeah, because out of all the young prospects that Chelsea have had, like, if you look at De Bruyne, he's done absolutely fantastic, and they've let him go for, it was about 25 million, which is still a good price.
No, that is good, but compared to how it is now, I think for like 60.
But also, if you had that player in there with Hazard and Costa, like, Chelsea would just be easy favourites for the title. But like, not having him there is going to be more difficult.
Yeah, he's also been a Belgian international.
Yeah,
he keeps performing.
Arguably their biggest player.
Yeah.
not because of national team performances, just when it comes to being Belgium.
What do you think of Belgium as a national team? The results that they get are usually aren't the best, but on paper you should think they'll be doing really well considering the players they've got.
I think they're progressing.
They're progressing, because it's all like they all came out of nowhere. They all
just
became talented.
It
just
became this generation.
Not as a team.
I love Belgium, like the nation, like the national team. There's so many class players.
Yeah. It's sort of weird how that all came about, because apparently it didn't really do much to change their sort of youth structure. and they all just pretty much came out of nowhere on these players. Like, it was very odd, and they looked fantastic. The only area I'm worried about them, though, is the fullbacks, because they haven't got any fullbacks.
Who have
they got? Richie
Delap.
They've got loads of good centre-backs, like Company.
They've got good centre-backs, but fullbacks.
There's nothing there.
All the world play with, like, run back, can't they?
There's a pace issue if you have, like, centre-backs at fullback areas.
Yeah, they seem to get left behind by a lot of wingers if you do that.
Richie Delap, wow.
That's the best you're getting.
That's the best we're getting.
That's quite worrying. In other news, a bit of a funny story here. Ronaldo brought his agent, and then there's a Greek island as a wedding present.
Not bad. You'd expect to get some, like, new plates as a wedding present. You know, you might be moving into a new house together if you're getting married, but no, you got an island, mate.
How do islands even have prices? I really don't know how they...
Because, like, I don't
it's
know.
It's land.
It was a Greek island. So,
you've got to imagine it was very expensive.
Maybe Greek is so poor they started flogging off all their little islands.
It's not like buying a mansion.
It's
not like buying a mansion. It's literally land. Literally a load of land on its own, completely away from other places.
I
mean, Mendes has probably earned Ronaldo at least like 200 million across, like,
probably one of the most successful agents.
Yeah, he's huge
ever. Right.
He's a massive agent. Like, at least Ronaldo could do is get an island.
But how much is 200 million when it comes to buying an island?
You can't imagine it's a very big island.
On their mansions, that you buy like a billion.
I'm not really in the market for billion-pound mansions.
It's not my areas of expertise.
It'd be a few million.
I'd imagine so. So, obviously, the Premier League is looming.
Oh, it's starting.
The Premier League is looming. We've got actually some... The proper Premier League kicking off on...
August 8th.
Saturday, August the 8th. The fixtures... are in, and we've actually done some predictions.
Yeah, we've all done our own predictions
here at Centre Stand. So what we're going to do now is going to go around, say our prediction and why I think.
What we're going to do? Should we do it for, like, each match?
Do it for each match.
Yeah.
So who wants to start?
So the early kickoff on Saturday is Manchester United versus Tottenham.
That looks like a good game. Good way to start the league.
It's a very good way to start.
That sounds like a good game. I'm hoping David De Gea is still. Maybe we will be.
He should still be around.
But I predicted that Man U were going to win 3-0.
Okay.
I know it's 3-0 is quite a big result, maybe for the first game, but, you know, Man U have looked unbelievable pre-season, especially with Memphis as well being added to the team.
Schweini.
Yes, exactly. Schweinsteiger and Memphis, that's just amazing.
Yeah,
I don't know, Tottenham, they haven't been the best pre-season. Obviously, they lost to MLS All-Stars. Mm-hmm. They've had a few other bad results.
They haven't really signed much.
They've been really quiet.
It's been more outgoing.
They've pretty much been selling this.
They've been given really hefty price tags to people like just Townsend and that, but not really bringing anyone in. I think if they did sell Townsend for 15 million, you would have seen someone come in, but because they haven't been seeing that, they've not been doing a Steve Bruce and actually selling their players. So,
Vlad Chiricez has just departed as well. So, that's the defender they're missing. He wasn't obviously the most key defender.
Yeah, Cabool from Sunderland.
But they've got older building.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's been the main big one. They also got Trippier, who's like quite a good option at fullback. Kevin Wimmer from Kong, like, he looks like a decent young player. Like, you know, they're all right signings, but they're not like the Schweinsteiger.
It's going to be interesting to see, because they did look a bit shaky towards the end of last season. But yeah, my prediction is 3-0 for that game.
My prediction for it is 2-1 to United. I can see Spurs scoring somewhat.
Harold Kane.
Sounds classier. I see like maybe two goals coming from Man United's midfield alone. It's just a very explosive midfield on Man United's part, and I can just see two goals coming from there. They're at home. They haven't been the scariest Old Trafford in the last few years, but
especially last season.
No.
Very shaky.
The amount of records they have broken.
Yeah. I know. Crazy. Yeah.
They're always watching Lambert break tons of records, but when it comes to Old Trafford, records are being broken every week.
Moyes did that as well, yeah, that's a big part of playing the Moyes. Moyes era at United. But yeah.
But no, that's mine, yeah.
Alright, well, I've gone different from you. 3-1 Manchester United. I mean, looking at it, the Manchester United fans are all going to be really, really up for the season. I mean, it's been very exciting this pre-season with, like, all the signings, and they pretty much think they're going to go for the league here. Like, they're going to be really up for this, and it's also the first actual game of the season, so they're all going to be up for it. And they haven't sorted out their defence, which well gone 3-1, so I could see, like, a Harry Kane goal or maybe like a corner goal
definitely
coming in, but I think Manchester United are going to be really up for it and get enough. They pretty much always beat Spurs at home, so
yeah.
I think he's going to do it for 3-1.
Yeah. Next game, Bournemouth-Aston Villa. I've gone 2-1 to Aston Villa. Okay, reason being, Bournemouth, you know, fresh start to Premier League, they're going to play their asses off, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think they're going to want to prove themselves straight away that they belong in the Premier League. So that's why I kind of think they're going to get a goal. Plus, Aston Villa's defence isn't the best, as we know. And that's not really going to strengthen until they sign someone else. The reason I put 2 goals for Aston Villa, you know, Scott Sinclair, obviously his hat trick the other day, and Libor Kozak, he's
great
back.
Form as well.
He's back in great form, so I'm thinking that they'll be able to break down that Bournemouth fence quite easily because they haven't really done much to it. So you know, but we'll find out.
I've gone a 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to concede early. I think we're going to score first, maybe just after half time. Sort of like playing it, by minute by minute. But yeah, I think we're going to score first. I think we're going to concede late, I believe. Mainly just because Bournemouth are really confident. They're going to be up for it. Like any team that's gone up for it, it's going to be Bournemouth with all the confidence. Like they really do want to prove themselves, because many people say they shouldn't be in the Premier League with the stadium and all that.
And Eddie Howe's done so well there.
Yeah.
Can't be stated enough.
Such a community as well, people like Tommy Arthur in such positive moods.
It's their first time, they're going to be so up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're players like Tommy Hilfiger. Yeah.
But I think, as I've said, with Benteke going and us being able to get goals coming from up more positions now, I can't see us not scoring. I'd be quite surprised if we didn't score.
True.
So 1-1, I think we're going to get a point.
I've written down the same scoreline, 1-1. Yeah, I think Bournemouth will be up for it, but they haven't really added that Premier League quality yet that sort of to elevate them above their current team.
Yeah.
I know their team was great in the Championship, obviously, but like they're going to be having a lot of hard games. This is their first game. It's their first taster of the Premier League, so I'm not really too sure that they're going to be able to stop Villa from scoring.
Can I ask that we beat them in the FA Cup?
Yeah, they did too.
Yeah, Carlos hit.
Yeah, back in January.
There you go.
Yeah, 1-1 home. I don't really see Villa winning it. I think there's too many new players to jail. Defence isn't quite sorted yet, so they already see a win.
As long as we don't concede early, I think it could be okay.
Say 1-1 or 2-1.
Conceding early could really shake us up. The team is confident as them. It's sort of like Southampton. We conceded early to them, and they're so confident. They just keep going forward, and we're under pressure. We're so nervous. That was happening with Bournemouth.
It could be quite a wake-up call for both teams. Either could go, oh crap, here we go.
Or an experience. We're one of the most experienced sides when it comes to being in the Premier League. So we should be able to show a team that don't have an experience how it's done.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so the next game, Everton versus Watford. I've actually gone for 4-0 to Everton. I know, very, very big scoreline. I'm not sure I picked this, just because I think Everton, you know, they didn't do the best last year. But I think Lukaku's going to, I reckon he's going to be top form. He is meant to be fit for the game. They've got a solid defence. Watford's attack isn't that great, but you know they did finish first last year, so they're not exactly going to be pushovers. But I'm just thinking that
Everton at home.
Yeah, Everton at Goodison Park, first game of the season. You know, the crowd's going to get behind them. Players like Lukaku, Morales, and all their defence. Mm. So, you know, I reckon that's it.
I've gone very different. I've gone 0-0, goalless game, just because I think Everton are so attacking, but I don't think I feel like they're not going to get a goal. I also feel like Watford aren't going to be able to capitalise on any, you know, defensive weaknesses from Everton.
Yeah.
So I feel that's going to be a goalless game.
Fair enough.
I went for a 2-0 to Everton. I mainly felt because Watford's signings have been... They've made so many signings. They've made like 10, 11 signings. All from across the world. They signed Gerardo from Spartak Moscow, who's quite a good player, and Britos from Napoli. Neon from Udinese, like all these players, like it's such a mixture of new players, and probably most of them are going to start, so I feel like they're going to be a bit disjointed. They're still going to be sort of getting used to each other, so I think Everton will probably capitalise on that, and plus it's their first game in the Premier League, so it'll be a bit tricky for them away from home. So yeah, 2-0.
What about the manager as well, because a manager left one of the promoted sides, but I can't remember who it was, because he asked too much money in his contract. One of the managers asked for a bit more contract.
Or Leicester. Nigel Pearson left. That's all I know.
I'm not too sure.
Okay, next game. Leicester versus Sunderland. I've just put 0-0.
Is that because you couldn't be bothered to think what would happen?
No,
probably nothing's going to happen. It's going to be the last match of the day.
Yeah, that's it. There's just not enough like threat in the teams to look like there's going to be some goals in it. But
yeah, that's fair.
You know, they seem quite evenly balanced. You know, they didn't finish that in great positions last year, and they've looked quite shaky so far this year. And so I just think it's going to be a goalless draw.
For me, I've gone 3-2
to
Leicester.
3-2 to Leicester.
Yeah, very very hopeful, because I think sometimes games for Leicester can be quite exciting. I mean, you saw that with Man United.
Oh, true.
Games can be quite exciting with them, and Sunderland can concede goals. We saw that last season, they lost 8-0 to Southampton. They can take a lead, but I do think they're going to get 2 goals as well, because you know they've got Jeremy Lennon on him. It's not a bad signing they've made. Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Leicester are going to come out with 3 points.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember my justification for this, but yeah, 1-0 Sunderland over Leicester. I think it was that they signed Cabal and Jermaine Lenz, and they both look like, well, we know Cabal's a quality player, but I don't really know much about Lenz, but he looks like a very good player and someone that can really sort of hurt teams with his pace. Yeah, Leicester haven't really done much to sort of show like we're ready for next season. New manager as well, so I can see just Sunderland nicking it. Like, low scoring as well.
Yeah, like. Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough. So Chelsea Swansea, I've gone 2-2. 2-2.
Not a Chelsea win.
No, really? Not a Chelsea win. I've gone 2-2. Reason being, you know, Chelsea, unbelievable. They did lose the Community Shield.
Yep, they obviously. Didn't look good.
Yeah, they didn't look great, but
talk about that later.
Yeah. No, fresh season, you know, they haven't changed much of their like attacking lineup. And Swansea, they've also made quite a lot of signings that I kind of like, you know, rate, I guess. Edda coming from Braga.
I
reckon he's going to be, you know, good. Their defence as well is pretty solid.
Like, so we
saw that,
back from,
last season, that Swansea's defence can be really, really solid.
Hmm.
But I just think it's going to be quite an even game, and Swansea are going to really challenge them.
Wow.
They're going to try and get a result at Stamford Bridge.
I've gone 2-0 Chelsea. I think they're going to be looking for that rebound from the Community Shield, but I can see them getting frustrated. I can see it being a really frustrating game for Chelsea, in fact they probably will dominate.
Yeah.
But like, they probably won't get the goals. Like Fabianski is a great keeper, and Swansea are improving at the back line, and they're just as a squad they're improving. I think they could really frustrate Chelsea, but I don't think they're going to be a threat to them.
They're a really solid team.
I think Chelsea are sweeping to the side, but not do as much damage as they hope.
Yeah, I went for 2-0 as well. Like sort of similar reasons in that like Mourinho's really going to want to rebound from this. Like, okay, we're back here. We're back in the Premier League. Let's write off that Community Shield. He'll say to them, "That's just a pre-season game. It doesn't matter. Like, we're still getting fit. Like, this is our first game. This is our first real game. Let's get the 3 points. Let's still get out of it. 2-0, low scoring the way Mourinho likes it. Like, just get those 3 points and sort of out of there. Really, like, I don't think Sunderland pose too much of a threat. I mean, they've really improved their side. Like, I like what they've done, but like." Chelsea, they won the title last season, they won the best team. It's going to be too difficult for them, I think.
Another reason why I think Swansea are going to trouble them, you know, Ondrej, he's just joined as well.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Also, Nathan Dyer proved a bit of a handful last year to quite a lot of Premier League defences.
Well, Ondrej is an unbelievable sign.
Yeah, and Ondrej as well, so he's going to want to prove himself.
Absolutely, and free as well.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think he went $5 million on the tribunal.
I think it's going to be a really good match, personally. We'll find out. So Norwich versus Crystal Palace. I've gone 1-0 Palace.
Okay.
1-0 Palace, you guys. Yeah. I'm not sure why. I don't really think much about this one. I didn't do much research into it. But I think Palace, especially with their new signing Connor Wickham, I reckon they're going to be a real threat. Also, they've got like Palacio, Zaha, Jednak.
Yeah.
Again, they're just quite solid at the back, and they've got quite a good attacking force that I reckon are going to break down Norwich's defence.
Yeah, I've gone 1-0 for them as well, for Palace. I think it's going to be a pretty stalemate game, but with Palace perhaps inching a bit better. Like they're a pretty good squad. Like you said, Kabay joining. But I don't think it's going to be so explosive this game. I think it's going to be a pretty boring game throughout. But I do think they're going to get the goal. Like maybe coming from a Kabay or something like that, but I do think Palace is going to get a 3 point.
Okay, I've gone 2-1 Palace. Kabay, mainly sort of the reason, like I can see him sort of adding a lot more, creating a lot more chances for Palace, and it's going to be quite hard for Norwich because Norwich really haven't done anything to sort of impress me or anyone really that they're going to be quite a tough team to face. But they've got a decent side. I can see the crowd sort of maybe help them to get at least like a one goal, or maybe like they go 2-0 down and get one back. But yeah, sort of low scoring, not really much happening. Like, yeah, 2-1 Palace.
Okay, so yeah, now moving on to the Sunday games.
Yep.
Start with Arsenal versus West Ham.
Alright. Arsenal 3-0 West Ham. I mean, we saw how good Arsenal were in the Community Shield. They weren't great, but like they're certainly up for this season. Like, there's going to be a lot of buzz coming off that. The players are going to be confident after winning a trophy. Like, they've done well this pre-season, so we can see them really hitting a home West Ham. I mean, West Ham, they haven't look great. They've looked a bit sloppy in the Europa League. I know it's still sort of pre-season to them, but like new manager to like and away to Arsenal. I think they haven't beat Arsenal since 2009, so I can see this being a comfortable Arsenal win.
I like Smithy. I went four goals to nil. I do think Arsenal are going to be so confident.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to play really attacking, and I think they're going to look to display some real attacking ability this game.
Mm.
But I think it's going to be at least four.
Yeah, I've gone 2-0 Arsenal, so you know 2-3-4 the same reasons as you guys.
Yeah, don't want to rule out West Ham. I just think that Arsenal are going to go into this game with so much confidence, it's going to really flounder West Ham.
I don't know. I've just gone 2-0 Arsenal again. Really confident in the Community Shield. They look like they're really. Bolstered their attack.
Yeah. Check and goal as well.
But on the other side, on West Ham's side, they've got a pretty good defence.
That's true.
Their defenders, you know, they're big, bulky, and they get stuck in as well, which is what I like about West Ham. I don't think it's going to be too one sided to Arsenal, but they will be like on the other hand.
I see them being clinical.
And they're at home as well, so
yeah.
Arsenal fans are going to be very happy after the Community Shield.
At the Emirates. Newcastle Southampton 0-0. I've gone for this one. A goalless draw at St James's Park. Reason being, you know, Southampton they've offloaded again quite a few players. They've got something. But Newcastle they were very shaky towards the end of last season, but they too have made a few signings that could bolster their defence a bit.
Mitrovic and Mbemba, they look very good signing.
Exactly, and Mbemba.
Wijnaldum.
Yeah, Wijnaldum, he's amazing. I like him. I rate him quite high, and I think he's going to prove something for Newcastle in the season. But just for this game, Southampton's still got a pretty good defence, so I'm thinking they will.
Yeah, I'd say Southampton win 1-0. Like you, I don't think it's going to be a goal there.
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be one goal, and I don't know who it's going to come from. But Southampton are the better sides and have a much better manager, really. Stephen Pound's the greatest appointment in the world for a team trying to survive the Premier League. So I still think Newcastle are really going to struggle with this season. So I think they're going to take a few hefty defeats, but I think this one's just going to be 0 points for them.
I've gone for a Southampton 2-1 win. Yeah, I like what Newcastle have done. I mean, they've definitely improved their side, but also with Southampton, they still look like the same team they were last season, and they were getting a lot of wins last season. They finished top seven. They looked great. So I feel very confident in Southampton going there and getting a win.
Okay, Stoke City versus Liverpool. What do you think the score's going to be?
1-0.
1-0, okay, why?
I just feel like it's going to be, I've got a real feeling it's going to be that Stoke are leading. Liverpool get a very late equaliser. It turns out to be Liverpool's year. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
You saw last season that Stoke absolutely humiliated Liverpool at the end of the season. Absolutely.
Was it 6?
6-1.
Gerrard's last ever game.
Because we got humiliated on the same week, I believe, didn't we? Villa, we got humiliated on the same week to Southampton. No. But then we looked at, like, me and my brother, we looked at that and we thought, it's fine.
Yeah, you did alright.
We're not alone.
I've gone with 2-2. Yes, a lot of similar reasons. I mean, most of this Liverpool team, they still got a bed in. They still don't look like a team. I mean, they weren't great last season. Gerrard's gone. I mean, that's going to be a huge impact to the team. They haven't really got many leaders left. Also, that Stoke humiliation, that's going to be on their minds, but it's also going to be on the Stoke players' minds. They're going to be very, very confident going into this game.
Yeah. The team hasn't changed much, really, has it? That's like
true.
Last year.
Yeah, exactly. And
Benteke is going to maybe grab a goal from that?
Yeah. He'll get one.
For me, that'll be.
I reckon he's going to bully the defence maybe a bit.
That's going to be an interesting game.
Oh, Phil Barsley's going to scare him.
Come
back to Phil Barsley. I've gone same as Jared, 1-1. You know, pretty much the same reasons as you guys ever. And then again, Stoke have made a lot of signings. Kind of from everyone saying the Barcelona feeder club.
One of the stronger sides this season. They've really strengthened. Really well. They're making the right moves.
Yeah, it's good. I think Mark Hughes is going.
Really surprised me. I thought Mark Hughes was going to be an absolute dud for him myself.
No, he's turned out alright. Same reason as you guys. Also, I can Peter Crouch, you're going to get a goal if he manages to start, of course. But
anything can happen.
But yeah, exactly. So I've gone 1-0. And the game on Monday, West Brom versus Manchester City.
Monday Night Football back.
the Monday night football. Andrew, what do you think on this game?
West Bromwich Albion 0, Manchester City 3. I mean, Manchester City are ready for this. They pretty much always beat West Brom. I mean, West Brom haven't really done anything to sort of show that they're going to be ready. I mean, Ricky Lambert, that's a decent signing, but he's not really going to be able to beat the Manchester City
defence. Have they shrunk defensively?
Who, West Brom?
Yeah. It's almost things outgoing, it's less goals linked away. They tried signing Kieran Clark.
Oh, no, didn't they sign James Chester?
From well,
they paid £8 million for James Chester.
That's a big price tag for James Chester.
That is a huge price tag.
Could destroy his confidence, could make it, who knows.
They did finish 13th, I think it was, last season.
Just about.
Somewhere around there.
Tony Pulis is a good manager, and he clearly saw something in Chester that no one else did. Paying £8 million, I mean. Yeah. I think half that would be alright, but I mean, yeah, I'm not too confident in this game. I think they might do okay this season, but
I don't think they're going to be able to hold on to Saito very
long. Yeah, no, he's definitely going to go.
Yeah.
But that's what they got Lambert in, pretty much. But, yeah. Man City, they're so strong, like, people probably underrate them quite a bit. They're going to win, like, probably comfortably 3-0.
I've gone 2-1 Manchester City. Yeah, reason being, I think Ricky Lambert's going to be full of confidence after that brace he scored against Bristol Rovers.
You don't really see him getting a penalty or a free kick.
No,
I can't really see them getting be able to penetrate the defence.
But also, Brown Adeyi, he looked pretty solid for West Brom at the end of last season.
Not
but,
too short of him.
But then again, Man City have got a solid defence. It's very hard to break down, as it was proven. Last season.
Oh, it's not amazing defence, but for West Brom it's going to be too difficult.
They haven't got really
the midfield as
the
well.
Options, I guess, to break it down. But yeah, they're strength at the back with James Chester. But yeah, I think West Brom are somehow going to get a goal. And it's going to be 2-1 to City overall. So that's kind of all the fixtures that in the Premier League. Apart from, Jared, say your last one.
West Brom 0, Man City 3.
I heard someone say that.
I think Man City's defensive line is going to be too much. I think they're going to be very clinical that game. I think it's just going to be where he wants it.
Fair enough, that's a simple reasoning, but yeah.
Also, can I add to the Watford thing? It was Djokanovic they got. Well, he left because of the contract.
And they've got Kike in.
Yes.
He's alright manager from Spain.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, let's talk a bit about the Community Shield.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've avoided it for the whole podcast.
Arsenal fans are like, come on!
Yeah, exactly. I think it was a pretty good game.
It still feels very pre-season, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Obviously, the Community Shield is not the biggest or the most prestigious thing, but it's always good to win.
Yes, it's always a good confidence boost, and it will definitely give Arsenal confidence boost. Also, it's Wenger's first ever win over Mourinho, which...
That's good for them.
That's going to bring the morale up so high for the Arsenal team. And Mourinho is just sort of trying to avoid it every way he can by creating a handshake controversy and like throwing his medal in the crowd. Like, he's just trying to create any diversion to Arsenal actually winning it. But we did see it, Mourinho. Arsenal beat you 1-0.
Yep.
There's no getting away from that. And also, the goalkeeper you sold kept a clean sheet against you.
Very, very, very well done to Petr Cech and the Arsenal defence for that.
I know, they did well. I mean, they didn't really have much to deal with, but I think you made one good save. But it was pretty. Not easy, but they got it through in the end.
No, Oxlade Chamberlain's goal was pretty good as well. You know, I don't think anyone's going to stop that.
No, exactly.
Top draw stuff.
Exactly.
But by half time, Chelsea were kind of on top with possession and passes, like you would expect them to.
Yeah.
But their shots, I think they had 3 shots in the first half, all off target. So.
And Cech's just going to be like, yeah, easy.
Yeah, exactly. So Cech wasn't really challenged.
I don't think either keeper was really tested.
Yeah, it's true. It didn't really look.
But one goal that came from the Ox was pretty much not ever going to be saved.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you make of Oxlade Chamberlain's like chances next season? I mean, he's got to play ahead of Sanchez if he wants to play. So I mean, it's
but the same thing comes as for the team itself. That is a massive difference. Ginormous. Like he made the difference. Like,
yeah,
exactly. He's going to be happy with it.
They'll all go into that with a. They're going to go into the season with a winning mentality. That's 100%. Whereas Chelsea's going to be a bit more stuffed.
Yeah, Mourinho's going to have to get them back up.
They're going to have to do that first game in the Premier League. Is going to have to be really good for Chelsea to keep their heads up.
I think if anyone's going to be able to sort of bring his players up if they're down, like it's Mourinho, like he's the confidence builder, like he diverts any attention away. Yeah, I think Arsenal did well in the end. I think all their fans are going to be happy with that. I think They obviously won the FA Cup last season as well, and the season before that. I mean, they're winning trophies again. Like, it can't be like levelled at them as a criticism that they don't get enough trophies.
Yeah, exactly. You'll see Arsene Wenger refusing to shake Jose Mourinho's hand. It was a bit.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
because he only walked past.
Yeah, he walked past him, but
it wasn't like he stuck at his hand. He didn't. He shook their hands, and then Arsene Wenger just walked off by the time he got to him. It wasn't really a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
It's been blown out of water.
I've only heard things about it.
A bit childish, I think.
I've only heard things about it, and the way it's sort of being portrayed is that Mourinho is Mourinho. Like, I haven't really heard anything about this.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Wenger's.
Yeah, because he was shaking all the Arsenal players.
And then Wenger walked past.
Oh, yeah.
And then Wenger saw the last
rapidly went behind him.
That way, like, just walked onwards.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, it's.
It's been blown out of the water.
It feels like in football, we do anything to not talk about the game itself. It's always the controversy, the thing that happened. It was all the red card challenge or something else. It's never 90 minutes.
Yeah. So that's kind of all our topics that we're going to talk about today. But,
don't forget, I was at another match.
Yeah,
that's why I couldn't watch the Community Shield.
Yeah, so Jared couldn't watch the Community Shield because he was actually at the pre-season friendly between Brighton and Sevilla.
Watching the Europa League champions.
Yeah, really interesting game. Like, I guess that is the main talking point, is about Sevilla on that pitch.
And you wouldn't have gone if it was Getafe.
No, if it was any other club. Yeah, Getafe definitely would have gone. But Sevilla, I really wanted to see Sevilla play. It's nice to see them at the Amex. See a quality side on that pitch for a change.
Well,
he came off at half time.
Who were the best players for Sevilla?
Matos.
Where's he playing?
I don't know much about him, but he's sort of playing the left wing role for a lot of that game. They were very 2D Sevilla, I have to say. They're very two-dimensional with that game. Everything was being hoofed to the left side, and there was this Matos guy who was coming down that left side, and he was doing all the running. And that was literally everything that Sevilla was doing for the first half, at least. In the second half, you had Konoplyanka, who came on because Reyes came off early. And his dribbling ability is insane.
Here's the guy who taught them in Man United.
Because you had him and Suarez.
Dennis Suarez.
They're just so good at dribbling, and it sort of changed Sevilla because they've actually found their way into the box through dribbling and not high balls. They were still doing high balls, what I found really weird. A lot of their passes were high. But no, the deciding point in that game was the Brighton penalty nearly start the game.
Yeah.
Hemed scored.
Was it a penalty?
Yeah, it was very easily given.
Yeah.
So it finished 1-0.
Yeah, Hemed scored early on in the game, and Brighton kept on to it. David Stockdale made some really good saves.
Oh, really?
Whereas he gets a lot of slack from Brighton fans. It's constant abuse when you're there.
Yeah.
And I was defending him. Like, I saw a few of them saying, well, he's pulled off some really good saves this game, and it's only going to help him. Because I'd say he was the deciding factor in that game. Because there was a lot more efforts going Sevilla's way than Brighton's, and he was stopping them. So
Well, Brighton being our local team, Chris Hughton's actually been quite busy on the market. Do you reckon they're actually going to do pretty well this season? Maybe after their pre-season.
No,
not at all.
I don't have any confidence.
I think 4-4-2 predicted that they were going to finish in the bottom three.
Really?
Yeah, I think 4-4-2 predicted that.
I'd say mid-table.
I see if Duncan.
It's going to be a really boring season for Brighton. It's going to be a lot of losses.
It was last year.
It's going to be pretty much a pointless season. Even if they go down, at least that'll be a point. But in the season, we'll have a purpose.
Their signings haven't been amazing, have they? Because they're supposed to be players that aren't really good enough for other teams. Like Bong and all that. They weren't good enough.
Hemed.
Yeah.
I don't really have any.
It's hit and miss fan players at Brighton. It has been so hit and miss. You've had some really good ones in Calderon and Bruno, and you've had your strikers that have proven to be garbage, a lot of them.
I can't remember half of them. They just Leroy.
I was talking about that. It was like Getafe striker. I can't remember his name.
There was another David something.
It's really depressing. Like the buzz that was sort of around the place about 2 years ago when Brighton were in the playoffs and they were looking like a great side, they were playing great football under Poirier and nearly under Oscar Garcia. Like, he did quite well there, and it's just been downhill ever since. Like, the owners just don't want to spend any money to buy players that actually have the ability to keep the team in the championship. To be honest, I think if Dunk goes this summer, they don't replace him, Brighton are down.
Yeah, he's a really key player for last year. He scored goals and he's a solid defender. So
he's going to be in the Premier League one day, I think.
Yeah. Maybe not Brighton.
definitely not Brighton.
I don't know who for.
I just have no hope for
two seasons in a row, they had a chance to get get up there, and they disappointed in the playoffs twice. They were so bad in the playoffs.
Lost to Crystal Palace one season.
They should have
Derby the next.
The Palace game was so one sided because Brian gave up another five.
They didn't try it.
And
then
they got battered by Derby, didn't they? Absolutely bad.
Oh god, it was.
It was
4-0
hard to watch. 4-0 at the Derby Stadium.
Yeah, it's just too easy for them. It just looked like
it was embarrassing because it's kind of like if a team goes to the final, I won't mention any team names. When they get to a final and they get battered, you think it's just a waste that they were there. And I'm not saying there's any teams that have done that recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brighton were like that. They got proper bad, and you've got to wonder if there's any other teams that might have actually put up a fight against Derby. Mm.
So we've actually set up a fantasy Dream League team
on
thing.
PremierLeague.com.
Yeah, I'm on PremierLeague.com. The league is called Centre the Stands, and the code to join, we'll put it on our Twitter as well.
Yeah, it's long.
1493675- and then 351132. But in there, you'll find all three of us.
Yeah.
With our teams that we think are going to get us points this season. Well, maybe not Jared, because he chose players that he likes.
Yeah, always do.
Going to do well.
Always will.
But yeah, feel free to join the league, and that's kind of the end of the podcast this week.
For this
weekend.
Not going to list who we've done. Pardon? Not going to list who we've done on our teams.
Okay, yeah, we could do.
Remember.
I just need to log in again.
Well, I've got
mine
up.
He's got
his I'm so excited by.
Yeah, God.
Okay, in goal, this is the first 11, we should get subbed as well.
Yeah.
In goal, I've got Jack Butland and the other goalkeeper, because I haven't actually sorted this out yet, is Fabianski. Because Jack Butland's going to get a whole lot more game time now. We spoke about this last podcast.
Yeah, Bergwijn's gone, he's going to get more game time.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Fabianski's
been good for us.
Very good. Jose Ponte in defence with Amavi, Alderfield, and Aspi. And then defensively, on the bench as well, is the most versatile player in the league, Jeffrey Schlupp.
Jeffrey Schlupp, how versatile is that man?
He's so very versatile. I had to pick him.
Very underrated. Left back, striker,
centre mid,
anywhere,
wherever. In midfield, I've got James Milner, Jonjo Shelvey, Morgan Schneiderlin, and Mane.
I like that.
Also, Andre Ayew, as we spoke about earlier. And for the strikers, Christian Benteke, Rudy Gested, and Harry Kane, or Harold Kane.
I like that team. And who's in your starting 11? Was that pretty much
that was it? That was literally all of them.
Oh, okay, fair enough then.
I'll go with my starting 11. I'll start off by saying Sanchez on the bench because he's a doubt in that game against West Ham. So, well, Courtois in goal, obviously, Mertesacker, John Terry, Nathaniel Klein, and Jose Fonte, and four quality defenders. I got Barami in midfield as sub for Sanchez. Like, I think he can get a lot of points because he's quite a tackler, and he'll really help that Watford midfield. Eden Hazard, probably best player in the league last season. Jordan Henderson, he gets loads of points too. Wanyama, and he's part of a solid Southampton midfield. Kane and Graziano Pella up front. Two quality strikers who are going to get a lot of goals. On the bench, got Butland, Ward, Gested, and Sanchez.
Fantastic. So I've gone for Cech in goal with Courtois on the bench, just for now. Baines, Terry, Kompany, Koscielny, Wijnaldum, Herrera, Tadic, and Henderson in midfield. Lukaku and Dzeko up front. And I've got Fonte on the bench, along with Nasri and Ings.
Do you think Dzeko's going to play?
Yes. He's going to score loads of goals. Trust me.
Not so sure.
Yeah.
Also, Fonte at home starting.
Personally.
It's personally for me.
So, Fonte's going to sit this one on the bench. Thank you very much.
Is that your plan to sit this one?
But yeah, I might switch out Dzeko for Ings, I'm not sure. But, got a good feeling for Dzeko.
In fairness, I've got Costello for Harold.
Well, there you go. There you go. We're all different.
If you do that for the rest of the season calling Harold, it's probably going to get on the nerves.
Harold. I'm going to continue it.
Oh, God.
Harold Kane.
Yep.
Harold Kirk.
Harold Carney.
Harold.
his Spanish version.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think they've done
that. That is it. Yeah. So hopefully by next Monday there'll be a lot more to talk about.
Sure, there will be. We've got the Premier League to review, haven't we?
Exactly. Yes.
There'll be a lot
so
more transfers.
Next Monday.
Best league in the world.
Next Monday, Premier League starts. It's going to be all over. We're going to be talking about it. It's going to be a talking point.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
It's going to be a big talking point. Yep, and
the
MLS.
The MLS Gold Fest is going to continue.
Exactly.
And also the weekend after, we've got all European League starting again, so pretty much.
Fantastic. So there's a lot to come in the future. So as always, remember to follow us on our Twitter page. Please listen to the podcast on our Podomatic account and our YouTube. It'll be much appreciated. Yeah,
please subscribe, like, please, and comment. We want it. We want your feedback. We want to improve. Like,
please,
pick up.
Please,
come on.
Okay, and tweet us questions as well, because it's easier for us if we have some questions to answer. It'd be good to get your views as well.
Yeah, we'll hear what you think.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peace.